Most of you were here for the other class, which was the trial run, but essentially I'll try to give a similar introduction, but keep it briefer for your sake. The goal of this class I think was entitled. Does anyone remember what the title was on the sheet? It was like an alliteration. What was it? It was what?
Something
provocative.
Radical
responses to
relevant
issues. Okay, that was a fancy name for the class because apparently contemporary responses series wasn't catchy enough. But for all intents and purposes, this is a contemporary responses series. What does that mean? The goal is threefold. We want to learn a genre called response to literature, or in Hebrew, shilos u'tshuvos. I'll explain what that is in a moment. And number two, the second goal of this series that will hopefully be happening here every week throughout the summer till mid-August, will also the goal is to understand who the major players were in the 20th and 21st century in creating and shaping Orthodox Jewish law through this genre of response to literature. And the third goal is really just to do some really cool topics that are relevant to today. My name is Moshe Kurtz. I am a rabbinical student at Yeshiva University. It's in a place in the lovely neighborhood of Washington Heights. I'm sure many of you have heard of it. And the first tshuva that we are going to do is by none other than Rav Moshe Feinstein. I thought only appropriate if we're going to, one of the goals of this class is to explore major figures of shaping halacha in the 20th and 21st century. Rav Moshe Feinstein, especially for us as American Jews, this is the first address we got to go to. Okay. So I think most of you I sent out the source sheet to. This is a very much a text-based class, so if you can access your emails, WhatsApps, whoever I send it to, anyone who didn't get it, you can ask someone in the audience quietly to forward it to you. This is a text-based class. However, the main source we're going to look at is translated into English. For my purposes, we're going to read in Hebrew and translate because it's important to see the original text. But for anyone who wishes, there is a full English translation of the tshuva listed below. Very briefly, response to literature. Is anyone familiar with the genre? Has anyone heard of response to literature or shilos u'tshuvos that wants to give a definition for it? Even if you do know what it is, yeah, go for it, Yisrael, our academic in the house.
It's a type of literature in which the author, generally the rabbi, is asked about a contemporary issue, and he answers that drawing upon his knowledge of the sources.
Okay, very good. So, like, 2 points from what Yisrael said. This is not someone's ideas on the Talmud. This is a relevant issue. Someone is being asked a question that pertains to a modern-day real issue, on-the-ground issue that Judaism has to address. Number two, there is usually someone asking a question. So let's turn to the tshuva over here. We're going to see in the tshuva from Rav Moshe that from Moshe Feinstein that there actually was someone who asked a question. But we don't actually see the text of the question sent to him. Some tshuvos, I'm going to say tshuva is a Hebrew for response. So some tshuvos usually will have the text of the person asking the question. Some of them will omit that question, and the person writing it will summarize. The topic, okay, without, okay, that's enough of the boring introduction of just framing what tshuvos are. Now we're going to try to get into the fun stuff, which is our topic for today. Our topic for today is something that I learned about in high school because apparently it was a very relevant topic for a lot of high schoolers, which is a topic of cheating on regents. Now you're looking at me saying we've been done with high school. Some of us didn't even go to New York. We don't even know what regents are. It's a standardized test. But he also, in a tshuva beforehand, addresses the question of cheating on government benefits, which doesn't just pertain to kids. It actually pertains to adults running yeshivas and running Jewish nonprofit institutions. This was an issue in June 1980 when Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva, and it's also possibly an issue today. So before looking at the tshuva, when you think of the concept of cheating on a standardized government-issued test, first of all, I think most of us are inclined to say it's prohibited, but if anyone wants to make an argument why it'd be permitted in Jewish law, go for it. And if you think it's prohibited, what reason under Jewish law would you prohibit cheating on a standardized test? First, what's your name?
Perry Chandler. Before we get to whether it's prohibited, not prohibited, and why, or why not, maybe we should define what cheating is.
Okay.
Because I'll give you an example. With the Regents nowadays, some students come into Regents with calculators that are programmed not to give the answers. Okay. They don't give the answers. What they do is they are programmed to include memory of the relevant formula, which other students would have to know by heart.
Wow, back in my day, we only had games on our calculators. Or maybe I didn't know about... Oh, I didn't know about... Okay, I didn't know about this strategy, apparently.
And there might be some schools that check every single student's calculator when they walk into the Regents, or erase the memory of every calculator when they walk into the Regents, but that is probably not often happening.
Okay.
And it's very common for students to do this, so that in a certain way, students who don't do it are at a deficit.
Right.
And by schools enforcing it, which would take a lot of effort and knowledge, they can't put the average proctor there.
I like the point. If I could stop you, I like the point you're making.
Is it cheating or is it the standard?
Right. So I like the point you're making about how, since some students have access to this, it puts the kids who don't cheat at a disadvantage. So Ramosha actually gives that as one of the ideas. We'll return to that in a moment. So that's good. We're going to give an example actually in this tshuva, but it's going to be similar, but not exactly what you're saying.
Getting back to government funds, the thinking was in Europe where they discriminated against the Jews, so therefore they had a different set of values for non-Jews and Jews, so therefore Jews had to cheat in order to be on par with everybody else, which doesn't hold true in America, but some people have had the same mentality that the government is a czarist government, anti-Semitic, having different laws for Jews, therefore you're allowed to cheat.
So if I'm not mistaken, I think in Meshech HaChma, Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, so he actually says that as long as, even if something's unfair, if it's not discriminating exactly, precisely against Jews and exclusively against Jews, then it's not considered an issue. But what you're referring to actually was their discriminatory laws against Jews themselves. Thankfully, I don't think we deal with that any longer. Okay. Let's go. Any like pressing thoughts, or we'll move on to the tshuva? Let's move on. Okay, so hopefully by now you guys have been able to access the WhatsApps and emails that you've gotten and are able to see the text along with me. Let's look at the case that Ramosha presents. Now, this shiur is going to be different than any other classes that's going to be given, in the sense that it's such a short tshuva that I didn't have to cut anything out. So what you're seeing here is purely what it says in the tshuva. Nothing is censored at all. The only thing you should note is that the bolding and underlines were done by myself. Ramosha does not bold or underline. Most tshuvas don't do that. Okay. Hinei bedavar she'lo sel ma'ash shama. Shebi yeshivos matirin laha talmidim lignoves hachuvos lahashelos mibchini hasim sheosa hamadina Regents translated kidei lahonos el kabel suda shagamer betov. He's talking about a case where the yeshivos are matirin, the yeshivos, the Jewish schools, permit students to steal the answer, the questions and answers to the tests. So let's break that one down. This is similar, I think, to the case you're bringing up. It's not the calculator, but there was an issue where there are test banks. And if you look back at like an article, my chavrus and I, when we researched it together, we found an old New York Post article, which one day the New York Post actually published the answers to the Regents because they're just so widespread before the Regents actually took place. I wasn't alive then, but some of you might remember it. So he's dealing not with calculators, but I think a similar in principle, which is that students are getting hold of test banks and they know the answers or they know how to answer the questions and they get an unfair advantage. Now, very interesting. You look at the text here. What's he say? He doesn't say just that the students do this. What does he say in the bold? Shebi yeshivos matirin. The yeshivas, the Jewish schools, permit the students to go ahead and steal. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that they...
know about it.
So do they turn a blind eye? Yeah. Do they actually provide it with them?
More than, I was in Yeshiva. I won't mention the name of the Yeshiva.
Yeah.
Where the principal said before you take the region, sign it you're not cheating before you take the test in case you cheat and didn't lie.
Sign before. Oh.
That's what he said. I was there. He said sign it before you take the test.
So this is interesting, and I want to return to that point, which is this tshuva, when it was first presented to me, is that kids are the culprits, right? But when you look at more closely here, it's, the question is not just about the kids. It's a larger issue, which is the supervising adults also are allowing this to happen. So that's the case. So what does Rav Moshe say about such a case? This is not only prohibited from Dina Machusei Dina. Dina Machusei Dina is for when it comes to monetary law, we have to follow what the country we live in, we have to follow their laws, specifically Dina Mamnus and monetary law. This is monetary law, somewhat. We're going to get into why that's true. But he says this is not just a Dina Machusei Dina issue, which is a term that people like to throw around a lot. He says this is actually an inherent Jewish issue. It's an inherent halachic issue, even if the U.S. didn't say that this is considered cheating on a region, getting test banks, or New York State. This is not only, now he introduces, let's keep in mind different halachic categories. One level is dina mechusei dina, you're going against the law of the state, which the rabbis tell us we have to follow. He says, this isn't only that, but it's genevas das, which is you're not allowed to steal. The classic example of genevas das, which is really knowledge theft, is that I know you can't make it to my party, and I don't want you to come to my party, but I want to be in good terms with you, so I invite you to my party anyway, full well knowing you can't make it, just to make you think that I invited you, so I'll be in your good graces, even though I wouldn't want you to come if you're able to make it. That's a classic example of Gnevas Das. So he says here, you're being duplicitous, which is prohibited, which is a prohibition in the Torah.
There was a large fight when a myth started. The reciprocity list for Shalach Manas, because you're sending somebody Shalach Manas that you didn't think of, but now they think. So.
Oh, interesting. I'm not particularly familiar with that, but this is right. You're right. This is not strictly with regions. It could come in all sorts of places.
The main thing is you order Shalach Manas for a certain group of people.
Yeah.
You didn't include someone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else threw a meat. Orders you a shalach manas that you're unaware of, you pay a certain extra fee for them automatically to get a shalach manas from you.
Ah, okay. That's another interesting case to deal with. So, okay, good point. Let's table that for a moment because I want to make sure to get through this case. But as you can imagine, there are a lot of different cases that could branch off from this. So let's learn the general principles behind the matter, and then maybe if we have time, we could get back to cases not addressed in the tshuva. Moving on. He says, where is it? Okay, this is not only, let's go down to the last part of that paragraph. Ella dehu gam genevas davar mamish, looking in the bold. This is not just genevas das, right? So it's not only dina mechusei dina, it's not only genevas das, it's genevas davar mamish. And if there's anything that I haven't translated that I need to, just call me out on it. This is not only dina mechusei dina, it's not only just going against the state, it's not only just stealing from people, knowledge-wise, but is actually real bona fide monetary theft when someone gets the test banks and cheats on a government test. Now, let's throw it out. What is the reasoning that we would call this bona fide theft? Do you agree with Ramosha's formulation that when someone cheats on a region, that's bona fide theft? Right, what are you stealing? Exactly, that's the question. What are you stealing? The test banks don't seem to be what you stole. I don't think it is. Right?
You're stealing the opportunity to succeed in life on the basis of nothing past that test.
These things have value.
Oh, okay, excellent.
They have value for admissions. They have value for scholarships.
Perfect.
They have value for many things.
Why is that? They have monetary value.
Why is that?
He's saying it's not only Gnevas Das, it's Gnevas Mamash.
So here's the argument, right? So what you're arguing is they're saying that, okay, it's Geneva, but it's only stealing knowledge, right? It's an opportunity. Is an opportunity something tangible? Is that monetary? I know we could attribute value to opportunities.
With other people for entry to medical school, entry to...
Ah, okay.
Scholarship money.
So do we call that, is that called, like, Geneva Stover... What?
Is the region scholarship.
Regent Scott. Oh, okay, very good. You could get money for honors also, you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, maybe I didn't do well in that way. Benji, what, you got a scholarship? Benji got honors. I didn't. anyway, good. Excellent. Rav Moshe is going to address this in just a moment. So let's move on. Rav Moshe says someone, now he's dealing with yeshiva people. So he wants to make sure, you know, the yeshiva people could think, or not just yeshiva people, but he wants to dispel a few rumors. The Ein Lo Lita, right, next paragraph, for those who are following. All right, I don't think anyone's following, so I won't say it. I'll just read. Ve'en lo lito salomar she'im cha'afim kiblu la'avod etzlo adaita dahachi hu kemakbet al davar she'eno tsarsher shay l'shaker. Okay, so here we go. He's going to say that you're not allowed to do this, and he's going to list us a few reasons here. This is something that someone might think I'm allowed to do this anyway. Chala da'afim hu emes she'en lahakbet hu vadek peda ubata kabbalah. So here's the issue. One issue is I get employed by somebody based off my Regents marks. I just want to put a note here. I don't think any employers usually look at someone's Regents grades and thereby hire them.
They look at the GPA.
Employers do that?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
A lot of applications.
You know what the you know what the issue is? I'm in the Ravenets. They don't look at your GPA. You don't have to have good academic grades. But, okay, or possibly college admissions could be that if someone goes on to college. I know Rav Moshe assumes that anyone reading this tshuva has plans for moving on to college. Rav Moshe, just a quick biographical information, while he was known as the Posek Hador, the greatest halachic decisor of America in the 20th century, he did lean a little bit more towards the right-wing side, albeit moderately right-wing. So his assumption that you're going to college, he probably doesn't assume that someone's going to college. Maybe. Also, he says, what's another issue with this? The gamsha usur l'shaker. Wait, let's back up a second. Forget about money. Right? What do we all learn in preschool? Mivar shaker tir chak nefer tela. Right? We all learned, right? A lot of us learned this in preschool. Lying. Lying is prohibited. It's a pasuk. It's a verse explicitly in the Torah. You can't, well, in Tanakh, you can't lie. All right? So lying is an issue also. You lie to your employer because what's happening? You get higher grades, which you're not. What do the grades do? The grades reflect how studious you are. They reflect maybe even inherently how academically successful you are, how smart you are. I know there's different kinds of intelligences, but for some reason that's how we grade people. So you're deceiving the person hiring you. The person hiring you thinks, wow, I got this really smart guy. This guy's got like a 3.9, 4.0 GPA. Meanwhile, you really deserve like a 2.5 GPA, but you cheated. So there's an issue just simply of forget the money. You're lying. That's a prohibition also that has to be taken into account. And then here's the part that I think the two of you brought up, which is he says, What's he say? This guy, he doesn't give the svar that you give. He doesn't give your idea, but he gives something very similar. What's going to happen is you got Bob running his business. Bob has five employees. Something goes missing. One of the employees stole something. Now, he's concerned. He's suspecting different employees of stealing from his company. But he's not going to suspect the from yeshiva guy. He's a from guy. He doesn't cheat. He learns Torah. He learned Torah all day before getting this job. So he would never cheat on anything.
Unless he went to the same yeshiva.
Or that. But what happens? But that's not true. So what's going to happen? Because he's not going to suspect the guy of being a cheater, where in fact he really is, he's going to suspect other employees and possibly fire another employee, when really, maybe he should be suspecting, Shmuel over here, who cheated on his regents. But he's not going to be concerned. So he's saying that actually when you cheat, you might cause someone else to lose a job at your expense. Now, I think this is a very roundabout way of actually saying what you guys had in mind, which is forget about a case where you might suspect people are stealing from him and then fire another guy instead of you. What about just job applications? He's going to see you have a higher grade, and he's going to reject somebody else from getting that job instead of you. Now, I want to quickly say, I don't think we could say it's on the level of Geneva Mamish then, right? That's the issue. Because if someone's not hired yet, can you really say that that's stealing money from him? He doesn't hold the money yet. He doesn't have it. So I don't know if that could be bona fide theft in halacha. It wouldn't be ethical, that's for sure. Yeah.
But it seems like what happens here, and it's the nature of tshuvas in general, is that you're dealing with the student, mm-hmm. cheating a student. But really, there's really sort of an environmental, a systemic issue going on here. Because what happens is you have yeshivas that are strongly incentivized to decrease the amount of study that students have in secular studies and increase the amount of time they have in Jewish studies, but yet not to have them fail their general studies so as not to impede them, and also because the state rates schools
right.
on how they do, and so the school doesn't want to be seen as a failing school, so there's enormous pressure,
a lot of pressures.
On the school environmentally to set up a system where you can get the maximum Gemara and other things out of students with the minimum amount of time and the weakest teachers that you can pay and so on, but yet find a way to make it all happen. So the question is, so Rav Moshe is responding as if this is an individual issue on each individual student, but it's really an environmental issue.
Mm.
You understand? It's a global environmental.
It's a systematic. You're saying it's a systematic issue.
It's a systemic issue.
Right.
The question is, does the Rav Moshe deal with that? Because that's bigger than the individual.
Oh, okay.
Student.
He's going to deal with it, but I can already tell. He's going to deal with it right at the end of the tshuva, but I'm going to predict you're not going to like it based on the way you framed this already, but just hold tight. He will address it, though. Okay. Let's move a little bit forward. We're going to skip to the next paragraph. Umamela, second last paragraph for those following. A few of you are. Okay, good. Umamela. Vadai osur afla machshavaso shiraviach aydei zebulim Torah. Okay, he's going to address something that people who might be in yeshiva that have a lot of Torah learning but not a lot of secular studies, what might be going on through the mind of the student, right? The student went through yeshiva and the rabbis in yeshiva impressed upon him the value of studying Torah, which you can't argue is a very strong value in Judaism. So what's he going to think? He's going to think, maybe I can cheat on my test. Why? So then I could save time from studying, and I'll have more time to study Torah. What does Rav Moshe say to such a way of thinking? Shegam b'shalim haTorah aser lignov. Even due to wanting to increase your study of Torah, a prohibition of stealing is a prohibition of stealing. The mitzvah of studying Torah does not supersede the biblical prohibition of stealing. And
like
since
you have to shorten your davening when you're working, when you're on the tree or whatever.
Oh, good. So right, the Gemara, right? Was it? It's Tinus, I think. It's in a Gemara. What Tinus?
Brachos.
Okay, I thought it came up there. Fine. One of these got out to Gemaras. Right. So
you would think
right, you have to short. Right. Exactly. You can't do it on someone else's account. If you're working for an employer, then if you work for a certain amount of hours, you do something else during those hours, even if it's Torah related, that's called theft because you signed to work for a certain amount of time, and that's what was stipulated. Okay, and let's keep reading. V'im chashka nafsho b'torah. Now Rav Moshe says, oh, you're going to be concerned. So he wants to make people feel better about not cheating and assure them that their Torah will not be lacking due to investing time in studying secular knowledge. V'im chashka nafsho b'torah. Elo lidok shemelo yada kolkach. V'leya lo simon tolayo. And if you're going to, but if you're involved in Torah, don't worry. You're still going to be able to learn very well, and you won't lose out. And when it comes to the secular studies, don't worry about bittul Torah. The number one thing, Musar, that rebuke that I always got when I was in school was anytime that you're not studying Torah, it's bittul Torah, and you could have been dedicating it to learning, but you're dedicating it to dvarim b'talim, to something, to meaningless matters. So Rav Moshe is saying, don't be concerned that studying and spending time studying on a test for secular knowledge is going to be bittul Torah. Rather, what does he say? He says, this is the key line, anyone who's following along in the text, because the time is already lost, or butl, already nullified, however you want to translate that. Ramosha has a very interesting approach, and I think this reveals Ramosha's approach perhaps to secular studies in general. The regents by law, correct me if I'm wrong, has to be taken in New York State. High schools have to teach that. Students have to take the regents exams. And Ramosha's not going against that premise. He says to take it. And he says, once you already have to study this, then do a good job at it. Ki azman al kopanim mevatel. That's it's a concept, it's an economic concept. Just you have a sunk cost.
Double the time studying for the regents.
What?
You could spend X time or X times two.
Oh, okay. So you're making the frumsvar over here, right? You're trying to make a frum approach. You could spend less time studying on it. So that could be true. But Ramosha, okay, so maybe Ramosha is a little more monoorthodox than we first thought. So Ramosha, I'm only kidding here, but Ramosha says that once the time is already a sunk cost, do a good job at it. If you're going to already spend the time studying secular knowledge, you might as well do a good job at it. Rather than what? Being lazy. Rather than being a bum and just wasting through the time anyway. There's a lot to talk about here about approach to secular studies. If you want to read on it, Rabbi Norman Lamb wrote a book called Torah Ramada. I can give you references afterwards. But I don't want to focus too much on that right now. Now at the end, this is the part that you're going to like and probably not like. So listen closely. This is not just a one-time issue. This is what you're saying, you call this a systemic issue. There is a premise in this tshuva. What's the premise? That kids are cheating on regents. Kids in yeshivas are cheating on regents. And not just are kids cheating, but the yeshivas are permitting them to cheat on the regents, maybe to get the higher rankings or just to make sure that kids can pass tests and have time to learn Torah. Now Ramosha is going to address this, and this is beautiful. There are certain parts of the tshuva, which is more of the dry halachic discourse. Though to be honest, even the halachic part of it wasn't so dry, in my opinion. Then there's what I love about the parts of tshuvas that I'm picking out for this series. There's the sociological part to it. There's a part where the person, the author, gives his, I don't want to say 2 cents, it sounds disrespectful, but gives his own opinion, which has nothing to do with halacha, but has everything to do with the topic at hand. Avol bor, last paragraph, she'etzem ha'davar sheshama, ahu sheker misone ha'yeshivos. The whole premise is a rumor made up by the Sinei HaYeshivos, by those who hate yeshiva institutions. Ume'elu sherotzen lahachriv ha'yeshivos lohalo alilos beresha ki ader. Okay, so he says, these people are trying to take down the yeshiva system. This is not true. The whole premise of your question is wrong. Okay, good. But this is, I want to present what Ramosha is saying. I'm not backing it up. I'm just telling you what he says. And then he says, Adaraba, Yodua Shebene Hayeshiva He Me'elu, Sha'af Lumude Chol, Adifi Me Talmidim Shalom Dim, but they say for Shalahem. And so, actually, he says, I'll do you one better. The students that learn in our yeshivos, even when it comes to secular studies, they do way better than the students in their institutions. Now, I don't know who there is. Does there mean like, he's referring to like the forward? Like, I don't know. What's he talking about here? I don't know. Is he talking about like a liberal Jewish paper that was criticizing? I tried doing some research. I couldn't find anything on it.
Who is in the top Gemara shiur? So you're going to do well in a variety of subjects. You have the memory, and you have
right. You just inherently are like have that high level of intelligence. I agree, but he's saying, what's he did? This is so amazing. He just rejects the premise altogether. And not only does he reject the premise, but he says our students do better even at secular studies than those schools that claim to do well at secular studies and focus more on that. Don't be concerned for these rumors of lies. This is why I thought it was a forward, because it's written in public newspapers of those who hate Torah of Yirei Hashem. And he says, you could even say out loud, b'peh mole, shehu sheker v'chaza misone Torah v'das Yisrael. It comes from those who hate the Torah and hate the Jewish religion. Ad kan dvarav. That is the end of the tshuva. So what just happened here? He just had the premise. He went through why, theoretically, right? He says, theoretically, This is essentially what it amounts to after this paragraph. Theoretically, yeshivas, if there are yeshiva students stealing test banks and cheating on exams, here's XYZ, why it's prohibited, absolutely can never do it. And then what's the next section? He says, and then he encourages people to do well in secular studies if they're taking the courses anyway. And then the last part is he kind of just flips the whole tshuva on its head and says, you know, by the way, this is a faulty premise anyway. It's made up. And even after that, our kids do better than their kids, the people who are leveling accusations against us. What?
They don't have to cheat because they're naturally smarter. They're doing better.
So, yeah, I don't know why. That might be what he means. I can't say what's not in the words. He just says they do better. Maybe he thinks that there's divine providence that guides them. You know, Torah makes you smarter, like one of these kind of things. When I was in yeshiva summer camp, they said, oh, the gashmius is good when the ruchnius is good. So maybe if you learn more Torah, then you're better at everything else. I don't know what his reasoning is. He just says that.
No, but they say if you learn Torah properly, then you have sex with God. The Vilna Gaon was able to write geometry books.
Oh, okay. So we have an expert on the Gro over here sitting in the back, Jacob. right. So he could elaborate more on that in the future. How much time do we have left for this? Because there's so, how much time would you... Okay, I want to quickly just flash through a few supplementary sources that come after this, which really make this tshuva so much fun. We're not going to go through this one right now, but if you look at source number 3, if you get a chance to read it, it's the tshuva that comes right before the one we just read in the Igros Moshe. It's Chelek Bey, Simon, Chavtes, and Choshe Mishpat. He deals with the same issue, just from the perspective that it's yeshivas cheating on government benefits. And I'll just read from you just a little snippet right at the end where he does a similar shtick. He goes through why it's usher to steal from the government. He actually, this would have been great for July 4th now that I think about it. He starts off this whole thing about how America is Medina Sachetzed, and the only thing they want to do is to be meitiv and do good to all of their citizens. It's very beautiful. And then at the end he says, "Vav shechas v'shalom lo nechshedu rashi hayeshivos u'menalim shem yirei shemayim lavor al isurei gezel v'imrei shecher v'chazav u'gneva stats," etc., etc., etc. He says, "Oh, I would never be choshe that rashi yeshivos and principals at these Jewish high school or Jewish schools would ever do such a thing." You can read it later on your own, but it's a very similar methodology he uses. And something we could raise for ourselves is, let's ask, does Rav Moshe mean this? I want to present two possibilities without too much discussion on it, but something to think about and we can talk about afterwards. Does Rav Moshe mean what he says? Does he actually think that there's no cheating going on in our yeshivas, in Orthodox schools? Or the other possibility, which my chavrusa mentioned to me, is that maybe it's a rhetorical strategy. Maybe Rav Moshe just doesn't want someone walking away thinking that it's acceptable. And he thinks it's such a repugnant and awful idea that, you know, that from people, religious people, observant people, are going to be engaging in such immoral and unethical behavior that he had to write that at the end just to impress the point, like, it's so awful, I can't even believe that it happens.
What he's really saying is that whoever discusses this publicly and writes articles about it in the press, should be condemned because it's not true, even if it's true.
Right. And I guess that's why there's more Orthodox right-wing newspapers, so they could create their own special narrative.
No, they shouldn't talk about it in Orthodox newspapers either. The answer is
they
shouldn't be talked about.
Talk about
okay.
If it occurs, I'm telling you what should be done. It shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't be discussed because the people who discuss it have other motives that are not to improve Torah education.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's his point. Excellent.
What year was this story?
This tshuva was written in 1980.
Think about, there are some Jewish papers that publish everything wrong in the Orthodox community, and are they really looking to help?
Right. I'm with
this
you.
This was after the scandals of the food, the lunch program scandals.
They had canceled regions because it got stolen.
Oh, no, so that was my point. That New York Post article that I looked up, the New York Post actually published the answers, I think, to the test because it was just so widespread already. The papers got hold of it and just published it before the regents. It was a very sad thing. But I don't want to take too much time from Yitzi, so I want to move on. Just bear with me for 5 more minutes, and we'll finish up some really fascinating material. Source number four is Mishnah Halachos. It's another tshuva sefer from Rabbi Menashe Klein. He was a Haredi rabbi who I believe lives in Brooklyn. He has a similar question, but it's about cheating not in high school, but cheating in college. And in the second paragraph, he writes at the beginning, it's hard for me to even address this issue. If I have to address whether it's permitted or not permitted to cheat on a college exam, and then someone might think it's actually permissible to go to college to begin with. The very entrance of going to college is prohibited just inherently to begin with. So he doesn't even want to address the question because the very presupposition. Why is a different issue altogether? Why you like you think you're doing something right, but it's really wrong. That's another. Okay, so he brings up different issues, whether you're getting like a bachelor's of arts diploma, which doesn't really mean anything for qualifications. It's just a way of saying I went through college, or something like, you know, I forgot what he gave, but like computer programming, which is an actual skill. So when you get a degree in programming or whatever it is,
Vocational.
So then there might be one might be a higher level of Geneva than the other. But I just want to bring it into contrast with Ramosha's approach to secular studies. And it might be, I don't know, you have to know Ramosha well enough. I can't make a statement on her. But they might not be arguing, right? What did Ramosha say? Ramosha said, if it's a sunk cost, right, the time's being spent anyway, do well on it. And then what's he addressing? College. It may very well be. I have to read more of Ramosha, and I think he addressed it in other places where he has issues of going to college. Like during the summer, he talks about it. Ramosha also might hold the same thing about going to college. You know, college, I don't know if YU was a big option. Landers wasn't around, I think, in the 1980s. Okay, thank you, Benji. You could tell us that. Tura was, but you didn't have Landers. So going to college meant you're going to a secular environment. And also, it's a reshus. You don't have to go to college. You could still, right? Where I went to, they have vocational skills you could learn. You could find a job. I don't recommend it. I personally got a BA. I'm in a master's program. Like, I think college is important. But someone who's of a more right-wing persuasion can make that argument. So they might not disagree. Ramosha might just be talking about obligatory tests, so then do a good job on it. And Rav Menashe Klein is talking about college, and maybe Ramosha would get behind him on that and say, yeah, maybe college is usher. Depending on the circumstances. One really crazy thing to look at, source number five, in recent years, there's become a new subgenre of Shalos Teshuvos, which is like you ask a question to the rabbi online. And there's this Israeli website called Moreshet, which Rav Avram Yosef, I believe a son of Rav Avadi Yosef, the major Sephardi halachic decisor in Israel, he answers a lot of those questions. So he gets a question, just to give you the TLDR. He has a question about cheating on a test. And what's his answer to if someone helps her friend with her homework? V'zu mitzvahs gemilas chesed. This is actually a chesed. You're helping the person. But prakacher he sholetes heitiv b'chomer. Okay, fine. So he mentions as long as she's holding in what the material is. But he actually makes the opposite argument. Forget about being usher. He says, it's actually a mitzvah. You're helping her out on her test. Marissa, you don't look happy about that. Oh, we got so many people. Marissa was first.
I thought it said she's helping her with her homework. That's not cheating on a
right.
Test.
So let me get the... Let me look it up. Let me clarify. I know why your argument. I know why you have an issue with it. The case is, woman A did her homework. Woman B wants to just change it up a little bit and then submit it as her own work. Okay, that's not helping with homework. That's hey, you know, it's like a class of thing. It's a meme already, right? You know, oh, can I borrow your work and just change it up a little bit, right? Okay, for those who are holding a meme culture, that might only be me. I don't know. Anyway, last thing I want to bring up, there is a transcribed speech from Rabbi Jeremy Weider. He's a Rosh Yeshiva at YU. He's known to be on the more modern Orthodox end of things. And he has a fire and brimstone speech. Oh, okay, we have a Rabbi Weider class representative here. So I don't know if you want to argue or attest to that. I'm being descriptive, that's all. So this sicha, this speech, was in 2002. Just quickly scroll towards the end. They're actually, just to show that's still an issue of cheating in YU, YU
never.
Had to...
Why you can't be.
So why you had to send out a whole email about how the Rosh Yeshiva say it's an Isser D'oraisa, it's prohibited from biblical law to cheat. It was just sent out this past year. Since I'm still on the student listserv, I received this. So even though this speech was in 2002, they still need to say that. And I want to show you something. What they did actually this past year was they put these signs in the classroom that say, Shevizi Hashem and Agdi Semen, I place God before me always, hoping to deter people from cheating on the test. This is a picture that a friend sent me. If you look closely, here's the desk, here's the floor, and here's the sign that fell on the floor saying Shevisi Hashem Negdi Summit. So it kind of got very disregarded because hopefully the people that that do care about halacha are not going to cheat because they know it's prohibited. And the people that don't, well, hopefully they can find other reasons. But if they don't care about cheating, putting on a sign that says Shevisi Hashem Negdi Summit is not really going to change their feeling towards the matter. I just want to quote what Rabbi Weider says. He actually quotes Rav Moshe Shuva. It's the go-to source on cheating. Everyone quotes it. That's why I think it's a fundamental tshuva to know, just in general.
If someone's
going to
cheat, should you still tell them it's
awesome? Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, so no, he actually talks about it. He says, yeah. And he actually considers the idea of snitching on somebody. I know. I'm serious. Not even joking, right? Weider actually talks about it in this. I could send it to you afterwards. But this is, I want to just read this line and end off with it. This is real fire and brimstone. He says, now it's very hard to do it betzina here. It's hard to, he says that if you're going to cheat anyway, just do it in private. Don't let anyone see what you're doing. But if I were to make an analogy, I would make the following recommendation. That if you had to cheat, please first take off your yarmulke, take off your tzitzis, put them in a drawer. If you have tefillin that are exposed, cover them with a double covering, and then yaseh mashalibo chafetz. Do what your heart desires. Do what his heart desires. Ad rachmat, what? Right, right. So he based it off the Gemara. He quotes the Gemara earlier. He quotes it from Moed Katan, but maybe it's there as well. That it's you're going to do, it talks about, I think, sexual sin, or maybe it's sin in general, that says, really, you should not do sin. But if for some reason you know you're going to do it anyway, just do it, betzina, do it privately. Don't let anyone see you do it. Go out of town. No one recognizes you are. And then do what you need to do. So he compares it to that Gemara. Exactly, Yitzi. And then, he says, and Rachman Litzlan, may God save us, on that day that some people do get dragged in front of the Academic Standards Committee, and we have frum Jews there and non-frum Jews, and the non-Jews on that committee, and there will be non-Jews on that committee as well. When you've been called in for cheating, please walk in there without your yarmulke. Please walk in without your yarmulke so no one should think that it's the yarmulke, chas v'shalom, the yarmulke, that gave you the reshus, the permission to cheat. He goes so far, the issue of cheating for someone like Rabbi Weider is so harsh, he says, if you're going to be caught cheating, take off the yarmulke. This is also akin to a tshuva for Moshe. I think where someone asked about going to movie theater, should I take my yarmulke off or not? He says, don't do, you know, just because you're doing one prohibition, don't do two prohibitions, keep your yarmulke on. But Rabbi Weider goes a step further. He says, if you're going to cheat, take off the yarmulke. Chas v'shalom, no one should think it's because of your religiosity, because maybe because you want to study Torah, because you're a very firm guy. That's why you're going to, that's what you're going to do.
Without the other emotion.
What?
That
is no chil Hashem necessarily, like going to a movie theater. People
are going to see. Oh, okay, fine. Right. Oh, okay, fine.
He reason he's saying to take it off is because of chil Hashem. That's why.
Right. Okay. Excellent. This is just to show you, and like the sign I showed you, Ad HaYom HaZeh, you know, is an issue in 1980s. I'm sure it was an issue before then, and it's very much alive and well.
All their boys take their coats off during the final.
Great suggestion. And like you won't know who's really cheating because it's just the minhag. Now everyone takes off, even if you're not cheating. Great suggestion.
There's a famous story at Brooklyn College. They took out time out to daven mincha.
Right.
Had shuvah l'shela rishona arba. Had shuvah. It was written up at the time, but they daven mincha, giving the answers to the test.
Oh my God.
I remember my days in the Masifta here, where we used to write the answers on the board in Hebrew, and then tell the teacher that, you know, the Rebbe needed it for whatever, and the answers were up on the blackboard.
Am I allowed to say what happened in 8th grade on Earth Science, Benji?
Yeah, like
we took a test one time, and during the test, the teacher, he spaced out a little bit. He wasn't that attentive. So people would just be like, you know, like for the next question, someone would be like, base. It was like a multiple choice test. So people just said the numbers in Hebrew, Gimel. And then people wrote in the answers based on that. So It's a big issue. The point is, it's a big issue today. These are takeaways. It's a big issue. It's a relevant issue today, just as relevant as it was when all of us were in our respective schools. And Ramosha, this tshuva, is the main go-to source that practically everybody goes to first. Everyone quotes when they want to bring up the prohibition of cheating. And the importance of this class in general is to acquaint us with some of the most important pieces of halakhic literature that are written in 21st century. So walking out of this class, you just learned one of them. And this is something that if you ever talk to someone, a rabbi or someone who's dealing with the issue of cheating at schools or anything, I guarantee you, assuming they have some basic knowledge, they'll bring up this tshuva from Reb Moshe. And that's the goal. God willing, hopefully some of you enjoyed yourselves and will come back. But I'll be giving this class, a weekly class, on this kind of topic for the next few weeks. And it's going to be on similar interesting topics written in contemporary times. And I hope you all come back. Thank you very much for joining.